Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. This is Friday, the day you dream about all week long, the best day ever invented. Here it is, finally.
And even better, because it's going to be, what, 72 degrees today?
That's what they're saying.
I just said it was going to be 71.
71.
36 seconds ago.
I get my news elsewhere.
I see that's true.
Why do you come back from vacation on a Friday? Can I just ask you that?
I just love that song, and I'd like to see you guys there. It's kind of funny because, yeah, the last day I worked with you, that we started with that song.
Right.
Well, you know, I lead WGN groups to Europe, right?
Mm-hmm. Through SteveBertrandTravel.com.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't have a lot.
No vacation days.
Limited vacation days. And we got home very late last night, and so...
Did you sleep at all between then and now?
Yeah, I slept about four and a half hours.
Oh, that's not terrible.
No, not
at all.
Can
you sleep on a plane?
No.
Yeah, because you're tall.
Right.
I'm serious. I don't know how tall people fly.
We had weird flights, too. Our departure on Sunday was delayed for 6 hours.
Any particular reason?
There was a fuel pump problem, so which was...
They need to get that fixed.
Right. When you're about to spend 6 hours flying over an ocean.
Yeah.
So we didn't get into real late. And then last night we're coming in, and the pilot kind of aborted the landing when we were over the runway. I mean, we were over the runway, and he took off again. Apparently there was a plane hadn't cleared ahead of us.
It was Harrison Ford.
It might have been.
I can't believe
it usually
that.
Usually is
the
Harrison Ford.
HF. Yeah.
Isn't that scary, though, when you're, because you're all set to land, and I really don't become calm until once the wheels have hit the pavement.
Yeah, right.
And so you're going, you're descending, and then all of a sudden, was it a pretty quick rise again?
We were coming down. I mean, we were over... literally over the runway, or you know, just at the lip of it. But we flew over it as we went back by. By then, I just wanted it to be over.
Right.
And I thought, are you going to put us back in line? But we landed it within 10 minutes. So.
But that's an eerie feeling, isn't it?
It is
yeah,
scary.
It was a bumpy flight anyway. You know, because of all those storms that we went through. And but hey, it was great.
When you had the six-hour wait,
it's a miracle. You know,
it is a miracle. Flight is a miracle.
It is.
I got up at 3:30 yesterday morning in Honolulu.
Yeah.
And
wearing a grass skirt and a coconut bra.
And can I tell you one other story?
I ran into somebody famous, didn't you?
So we get off our little rental car bus.
Yeah.
Go to the SkyCap. There are four people there: Sharon, Noah, me, and Bill Murray.
How about
really?
That?
It's the weird. I've run into him four or five times in my life. It's the weirdest thing. I mean, it literally.
He's stalking you. I guess
it was the four of us.
Were people recognizing him or not?
Bill, it was the four of
us.
It
was just the three? Okay.
It was 4:30 in the morning. There was no one else, you know.
So did you talk to him?
No, I took a picture and, you know, we said hello briefly. I didn't realize at the time, but we were flying to San Francisco, and his son is an assistant, right, for Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing up there in the tournament last night, so he must have been flying there for the game.
They've shown him a lot during the tournament.
They show him everywhere all the time.
Yeah, wherever he tends to go, the cameras like to show him. Yeah.
Well, so that was...
You didn't do the Dalai Lama scene from Caddyshack for him? He loves when people do that.
You know, I just went up. I said, look, thanks for taking the picture and left him alone.
Good
last
for
time
you.
I was at a Bulls game, and I'm in the men's room, and the guy whose shoulder I'm touching... You know, at the
why do you touch
up.
Someone in the bathroom?
Well, I mean, we were just lined up at the urinals.
After being warned so many times.
It was Bill Murray.
Isn't that cool?
Did someone take his picture there?
I turned to him and I said, do you mind if I got to get a picture?
Selfie.
Yeah.
I loved, after the Cubs won the World Series, he's not only in the clubhouse with them celebrating, but he's doing fake interviews with them. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He stole a guy from Fox's microphone and he's doing fake interviews with them. And they loved it. How did you not love it? He's just become an ambassador for fun, kind of. You
he
know?
Really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, you know, gracious enough because none of us was awake.
Yeah,
just,
right.
You know.
I know. It really is when you make that trip, and you can't complain because you just come from paradise. You're either on your way to or you've come from paradise, so there's no complaining. But you don't catch up for a couple of days.
It's a planes, trains, and automobile thing to get to Hawaii. It really is. The payoff is sweet, but that's why you usually stay quite a long time.
Yeah, we were there 3 days. So
I would have given you one of my vacation days just so you could take through the weekend.
No, we had a great time. Emma was, you know, as living or going to school there for
lucky,
a semester.
Lucky baby.
Just drove us. We saw a different view of it. We saw, not that she's a seasoned local, but... you know, took us to different places that aren't touristy, and I had a great time.
Don't you find now when you're away from her for more than, like, say, a month at a time, that she gets a lot more mature? I'm going through this with Kylie, who's in New York. She's in this week, but I hadn't seen her in about a month and a half. And then all of a sudden, a month and a half, she just seems so much older and more worldly somehow.
Well, for me, the cool thing is she's going to school there, and she didn't really know any of the women she's with until she got there.
Yeah.
She's formed like a core of four or five different students, girls, and they take the bus all over Oahu, like a two-hour bus up to the North Shore to see this. And,
oh, nice.
You know, like I showed you the cliff diving. They're really just taking it all in.
That's excellent.
She's working at a restaurant, so we went to a restaurant on Wednesday night. And, yeah, she's just doing great.
That's great.
It's really fun to see.
It's not a bad place to study.
No.
No.
I have a girlfriend who lives on the Big Island, Vicky. She's been out there for years.
Is that what you call her, Vicky? The Big Island?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
The Big Island of Vicky. That's what it is, Steve.
Stop. But she's got, you know, this gorgeous house with an infinity pool, and she keeps saying, come to visit, but the airfare is so high to get there.
Well, I think, too, hanging out with Emma, there's a very transient class. It's like Alaska or any other beach area where people come in to live and they kind of hang out for a few years, get enough of it, and move away.
Well, you know what? I've been there four times in my life.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Was this your first time there, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Each of the four times I've encountered somebody on the trip, and one time three different people, who tell the story of, we came here on a vacation with no intent of ever living here, and after we were here for a couple of days, we went, why would we go home? And they just stayed.
I didn't want to live there. I've been there a bunch of times, too.
No, I didn't get that feeling at all.
I wouldn't want to live there either, but I could go there often.
You know, the other thing that really was interesting to me was we were in the U.S. I mean, it was a completely foreign landscape, but, you know, there was a Kentucky Fried Chicken on every corner.
Yeah, I know.
And
McDonald's everywhere. It's so weird that's part of the United States.
And then, but also, there were more, I think, Japanese tourists.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Than mainland tourists.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like being in another country, in your own country. It was just...
But for some reason, more on Oahu. You're on Oahu, right?
Yeah, right.
More
right.
on Oahu than on Maui. I don't know why that is.
More Japanese
maybe
tourists?
Maybe they market it differently.
And it was just wild seeing, you know, just because you're kind of immersed in it. So the different style of dress and behavior.
Yeah.
It was almost like going to a different country light. I don't
right.
know.
Yeah, it almost feels like you're in Asia as opposed to a part of the United States, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're glad you made it back, because last night, just out of the blue, a big-ass storm started.
Oh, man.
Wasn't that... Did you witness it?
Just a little bit of it, yeah.
We didn't see the big one, but we were behind it, and so we were above storms. We were probably over Iowa, and just the lightning and the, you know, while we're jostling around.
We ordered a pizza last night, and the delivery guy came to the porch, and as I opened the door, I hear these claps of thunder. It's mm-hmm. pouring. I'm like, oh, my God, when did this start? And he goes, the minute I got out of the car. I give him a bigger tip.
Nicely done.
But it was just, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We have so much stuff on the show today. If I told you, you wouldn't believe me. So trust me, just stick around. It's Bill and Wendy and WGN.
All right, we were talking about our 50th state.
Yes.
Hawaii.
Hawaii 5-0. That's right. Book 'em, Dano.
I will.
That's what everybody says in Hawaii.
Hey, Pete, we're talking Hawaiian Islands. Steve Bertrand has just returned from Oahu. Bill, what islands have you been to?
Just two of them. I have been to Maui and Oahu. Love them both.
I've been to Maui, Hawaii, Oahu, and I think that's it.
Yeah, and Blue Island. You've been to Blue Island?
No, Kauai, I think. Pete, what's your favorite island?
It would be the island of Kauai, where my sister lives.
Oh, poor baby.
And Pete, back me up on this. I've only heard people say this. I've never been there myself, but they say that if you want real Hawaii, that's the place to go, that it hasn't been commercialized like some of the other islands, huh?
No, that's true. I'll tell you, listening to you guys is great. I'm going back out there in July to visit, and it's just so relaxing and beautiful. You got to stay out there at least 2 to 3 weeks.
Yep.
To just really unwind.
Or 2 to 3 days in Steve Bertrand's case. How'd that go for you, Steve?
That was great.
So now, is that someplace you'd want to live? Because when I've been there, we went on our honeymoon, and we've been a couple times since, and it's beautiful and it's awesome, but you're on vacation, so it's not like you're going through your day-to-day life there, although would it be so bad?
I wouldn't mind living there, believe me. It's nice, peaceful, relaxing.
But there are parts of culture, because the second time we were there, I'm looking around going, is this someplace I could live? And there's just too many everyday things that we're used to that are all but impossible on Hawaii. They just don't have some amenities.
Traffic jams.
Yeah, they don't have traffic jams.
That's true.
I would miss that tremendously. I don't know. I guess
but
if I was forced.
You look at it this way. If it's raining on one side of the island, you jump in your car and go to the other side where it's not raining.
That's true.
And it's small island is great.
Yeah, you can look up at the sky and see where there is and isn't rain anytime. It's amazing.
It is really cool. It is paradise, and but it takes a long time to get there.
It is.
Well, Pete, thank you. And enjoy July. You're going to love it there again.
Yeah, thank you guys for making me have a great day.
You're welcome.
You guys always do great by me.
Thank you, Pete. You're very kind. Have a good
weekend.
Thanks
a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He was very nice to us, that Pete.
We don't deserve it.
No, we don't deserve it. You shared something with Dave Ennett a little while ago that I thought was darling, if I may say so. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or is it okay to say this on the air? I hope it is.
I don't know what it was.
You told him.
Oh, yeah. No. I told him. I didn't tell you. That's why I didn't tell
this
you.
Was so beautiful.
I'll admit it myself. Listen, I feel like a complete ass about something.
You should.
You know, Panarin, the bread man.
Yes.
I get all
Black Hawk
that.
Great. Or Temi Panarin.
You know, I was just telling you off the air how when the Hawks get to a shootout, I'm not nervous. I'm more
nervous. They're too
for
good.
The overtime.
Yeah. Don't be nervous.
I am a huge Blackhawks fan. I've really jumped on the bandwagon years ago. In fact, I'm driving the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And I feel completely stupid.
Because why?
Because Brian Campbell was on with the morning show today.
Yes.
Breakfast with a Blackhawk.
Yes.
And Steve Cochran is sick. And they were talking about, oh, will you bring him something to make him feel better? And Campbell says, maybe some tea. And then Dave Ennett goes, well, you know, soup in a sandwich. Why don't you bring him some soup?
Mm-hmm.
And there the giant light bulb came and crashed over my head and said, soup in a sandwich. That's why they have Brian Campbell with Artemi Panarin.
Brian Campbell is soup because of
idiot.
Campbell's soup. Artemi Panarin is sandwich because he's the bread man. Soup in a sandwich.
But the difference between you and Dave Ennett is he did not make fun of me.
I'm not making fun.
Yes,
I thought it was a wonderful moment of eye awakening where you just
went,
no,
awesome.
That's why they call it that.
He's not making fun of you. I think he's applauding the courage of the show. And
thank you.
That's
so true. So
no,
publicly.
I didn't reveal it to him, just to Ennett. And he was so sweet. Dave was like, well, you're focusing more on the bread man. And I was.
Right.
And that's why I'm like, soup and a sandwich. How cute is this? Oh.
Why did you think it was called that then?
Because soup goes with a sandwich. It just didn't click in my thick head.
You know the moment where we all realize that the Flintstones is just the Honeymooners in prehistoric times? Do you remember when you were a kid?
Wait a minute.
No, it is, Steve.
What?
The Flintstones are the Honeymooners in prehistoric times.
So
that's it.
Trixie would be...
Would be?
Fred.
Do this. Trixie would be?
Wilma?
No, Betty Rubble.
No, Betty.
Betty,
yeah.
Betty Rubble. But the similarity, there's a... Yeah. That's right.
Tony Fitzpatrick does the best Barney Rubble laugh.
So it's the same, and there's
no,
a moment.
No, that's not the same. That's harder to figure out. This is not that hard to figure out, and I'm totally 100% embarrassed.
I thought it was great. Because you could just see it in your face, like, that's why they call it that.
Well, you didn't see me in my car when I realized that. I'm like, oh, my God.
Did you knock on the window for other cars?
No, I knocked on my head.
Did you know that soup and a sandwich is called that because of Artemi Panarin? You didn't know that? It's true.
I feel so stupid. So thanks for making me feel stupid.
You're welcome.
Well, but at least you feel courageous and
yes.
stupid.
Yes.
Can I just tell you, my life is an open book, and a lot of times people want to slam it shut. But, I mean, what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
I'm just not that stupid.
What's wrong with that? Let's take a quick break.
And then I'm so excited. Milo Ventimiglia, if you used to watch Heroes, which I did, he was on Heroes. God, what was his name? Peter Petrelli or something like that.
Something like that.
Loved him in that. Gilmore Girls. He's on the show This Is Us that I have been telling you for months to watch.
Right. I'm going to watch it as soon as he's done with us. I'm going to binge watch it.
Yeah, but things are going to happen.
Is he going to say things that I shouldn't hear?
Well, it's all over the internet.
Was that like a 30-episode season, too, or something?
No, This Is Us?
It
no, 17.
That long, right? Was it 17?
17, that's
I think
long,
so.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It just, it is the
you
best
said it
show.
It tugs at your heart, you said.
It tugs at everybody's heart. It just can relate to everyone. We're going to talk to Milo after the news, which is next here on 720 WGN. I have goosebumps when I hear that music, Bill.
It's very moving, very stirring.
It is the theme from one of the hottest shows on television today, This Is Us. And on the line with us, the guy who plays Jack Pearson, it's Milo Ventimiglia. How are you, Milo?
Hello. Good morning, good morning. How are you guys both?
I got to tell you, this show, This Is Us, has just really created a spark in so many people's lives. It's so relatable because the Pearson family seems like it's 100% perfect. Becca and Jack are in true love. Their kids like to be around their parents. Everything is perfect, but it turns out life is not so perfect for the Pearsons.
Life is definitely not perfect for anyone if you really dissect it. I think there are hints and glimmers and glimpses of what I'd say a family strives to be, how they want to be together, but ultimately, you know, life is tough. So you have to take the bad as well, or the good as well as the bad.
And it makes for a better show. If you guys were just perfect all the time, people would catch on to that pretty quick.
People would hate us.
Yeah.
People would hate us.
Right.
Like there's no way. Something's gotta be wrong with them. What's wrong with them? But no, I think Dan Fogelman and our writers have done a really, really incredible job of humanizing this family. I think at the same time, kind of inspiring people to be kinder, be better in their own family life.
I have told this to Bill. I've told it to my husband that when I watch Jack and Becca together, Rebecca, Mandy Moore, who's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the perfect couple. And I watched the show thinking, I want to be a better wife, a better mother, a better person. Because honestly, in the end, all you have is your family. And I, of course, my husband's birthday is Tuesday, and I might want to recreate the birthday tradition that Becca does for Jack every year. And well, nice butt, by the way, Milo.
Oh.
Thank you very much. I was going to say, hopefully, he'll get a better surprise than a belly full of triplets.
Yeah, hopefully.
Wait, how much is a lot of you? I have not seen it yet. Is there a lot of you on display?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Let me just say that my rear end precedes my face in the open.
Oh, show. All right.
And yeah. I got to tell you, Dennis Franz did it first, Andy Sipowicz, and you've got a better butt than Andy Sipowicz, which is good, from NYPD Blue.
You should have let him be your stunt butt. Wouldn't that have been a nice
stunt
thing?
Butt.
You know what? I'd prefer Dennis Franz. So.
All right, so it's about triplets. It's about family. Spoiler alert, I got to get it out there right now. Bill, I know
you.
Can
I not hear this part? I'll cover my ears if I can't hear this part.
Are you going to do the la
yeah,
la la?
Go ahead.
All right. Second episode, we learn about the fate of Jack Pearson. Let's just say that. A lot of theories rolling around the internet and a lot of groaning when we didn't find out what happened to Jack in the season finale. What's up with that?
You know, the groaning when people were, let's say, upset. I had someone walk up to me and say, God, man, I was really disappointed. I didn't get to find out how you died. And I stopped this person and I said, I want you to think about what you just said. You were disappointed you didn't get to see a man die. And then I kind of course corrected him and said, let's worry about how the man lived versus how he died. I said, that's the most important thing. Go ahead and think about your own life. You're not thinking about your death. You're thinking about how you're going to live. So let's focus on that. And when it comes, it'll come.
You know what else you should be thinking about in life? Your BFF, because Miguel, he's not a good friend.
Are you kidding me? I think he's the best friend. Miguel is the best friend. You know, I've definitely been in that situation where some of my closest friends said, hey, look, if something happens to me, you got to make sure my family's okay. I think Miguel is a very good guy. And over time, he's going to win people over. You know, the one thing that people need to understand with Miguel is that's Jack's best friend. And, you know, regardless of understanding how Jack died or when Jack died or when Miguel and Rebecca got together as a couple, you know, that's still Jack's best friend. And he even said that in episode 15 in a speech with Kevin, when Kevin was nervous about going on stage.
For the play, yeah.
For the play, exactly. He was like, listen, you know, what would your father do? I think about that all the time. He was my go-to guy. And I see so much of him in you. He gets me emotional even thinking about that stuff right now.
Well, you are so emotional, and it's so cute. Bill, you can start listening again.
We're past
the spoiler part. You play such a fantastic husband and father, and there's one guy that inspired you, and I heard you got all choked up when you mentioned who inspired you to play Jack Pearson like that.
My father, who's a Chicago native.
Really?
My dad was born and raised in Chicago, actually born in the city, and then moved out to Chicago Heights and grew up out in the Heights.
Wait, I just told Wendy, Milo, that I went to school with a kid named Harry Ventimiglia, but he pronounced the G. I know you don't, but could that be a relative? Because that's very close to where I grew up.
Maybe, possibly.
I wonder.
I don't know if there's any Harrys in my family.
Oh.
And he's saying his name wrong, so
All right, I'll tell him that. You grew up very, like, practically in the backyard of Disneyland, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty close. Grew up in Orange County, California, but I was born in Anaheim, which is the home of Disney. And, I grew up a very California life, even though my father was from Chicago, and we still kind of had ties to Chicago.
Milo Ventimiglia on the line with us. I'm half Italian, and I tell people, you don't say lasagna, do you? You say lasagna. So,
yep. You don't say bolognese, you say bolognese.
Right.
Exactly. A great cast in This Is Us, but I have a question for you. What's with all the love for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the show? Who is the super fan that wrote that into the show?
Dan Fogelman, as I understand it, he was born in Pittsburgh but grew up in New York, New Jersey. So I think his old heritage and old ties to Pittsburgh was what created that. But it's also it's a working class town, and I think what they were looking for was a working class guy out of Jack and his family, and not having them in such a big city like Chicago or New York or Los Angeles, but that's ultimately where the kids spread out to.
I know you get this question every day, Milo, but I need to ask it anyway. What was it like playing Greg on Saved by the Bell, the new class? Very exciting?
That was incredible. I tell you what, that might have been, I might have peaked back then, and now I'm just kind of riding the wake.
Did that prepare you at all for the current role in This Is Us? I bet it did a little bit.
You know, I guess every job that I've done has prepared me. You know, I feel like every job that I've done has given me one measured step forward, and I gotta go back and give credit to even Saved by the Bell or Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or any of the earlier jobs that I'd done. The thing for me that I was so fortunate with was being around other good actors that had been doing it longer than I had. So I got to see how they were on set. I got to see how they were in a scene. I got to see how they were with just anyone in general. And you know, the good people, the great people I could take inspiration from, and the ones that weren't so kind, I could just not do that. But it was a good schooling, so to say, from 18 until where I'm at now at nearly 40, to be able to work on the jobs that I have.
And you played Sylvester Stallone's son in Rocky Balboa. And from the research I've done, both you and Stallone have a little facial feature in common. Can you explain that? Were you guys really warming up your mouths with heat lamps while you were filming that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that partly helped me get the job. We both have these very crooked mouths, very pronounced crooked mouths that people seem to notice. And we're shooting on the streets of Philadelphia, and it was just cold. And we were both standing a few inches away from a heating lamp just to heat our faces up so our crooked mouths wouldn't be so crooked. But Sly's the best. He's incredibly smart and funny and kind and very giving with his talent. And I tell you what, nobody works harder than that man. I mean, he wrote the script and directed and acted and produced, and you know, he was there inspiring everybody every day. So it was again, that was another great job that I was so fortunate to be a part of.
Is that one of those moments though where you just go, how did this happen? I mean, I know you trained as an actor, but you go, I'm playing the son of an iconic movie character. What? Does that just throw you at some point?
Absolutely. It's actually the opposite. I sit there quietly to myself and say, "Don't mess this up. don't f this up."
Yeah. We're talking to Milo Ventimiglia. He will be at Walker Stalker Con this weekend. And you're there. You were on Heroes, of course. Peter Petrelli, Gilmore Girls, and you are so awesome to the fans. You really appreciate your fans.
Thank you. Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, it's. Without an audience, without people there, you know, what I do for a living is literally just kind of showing up and doing it in a small bubble or a vacuum. So, you know, I try my best to get out to Comic-Cons, and when someone stops me on the street to talk about a job that I've done, just give them my attention and give them my time. You know, we're all humans and we're all people. And like I said, life is hard enough. So if I can contribute to a smile or contribute to, you know, a good feeling about anything, I'm definitely going to be a part of it. So
I know over the years, Milo, you've done a lot of work with superhero properties, everything from Gotham to Wolverine to Heroes.
Oh.
Are you a fan of that genre in and of itself, or is that just a coincidence?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, I am. My father took me to a comic book shop every Wednesday when all the new comics would get released, and you know, I'd read everything. I'd devour it. I was into it. I had a Batman birthday party when I was 12 years old. I mean,
I thought you were going to say 20.
You know what? Maybe I'll have it for 40. Yeah. Hey, Batman themed birthday party, 40 years old. Come on, come as whatever character you want. But no, it was something that I think there's a wish fulfillment quality with the superhero genre where, you know, you may be the underdog, almost like a Rocky Balboa movie, and you're going to succeed in life. You're going to win, so to say. And I always aspired to do good, and I really appreciated that out of the superhero genre.
I know you have had some past relationships with some of your co-stars. What about Mandy Moore? Come on. I don't know if she's single, but you guys have the best chemistry.
Mandy Moore is the most incredible, talented partner I could have in a TV wife. She really is incredible. So, yeah, you don't mix those waters.
Don't cross the streams.
You don't mess up you know, how things are going, and things are going amazing. So Mandy's incredible, and I'm very lucky to be her TV husband.
Milo, is this true? Did they just renew the show for two more seasons? Is that possible?
That is true. That is true. You know, network television, I think, has a very big confidence in this show. And that confidence is now transferred over to the audience. I think it was a very great move. I think it was a bold move on behalf of our bosses, Jen Salkin and Bob Greenblatt at NBC, to do that, because it lets the audience know that we're going to be around. They can commit to us. Where they've already embraced us, now they can really embrace us and feel good that their shows, their characters, their Pearson family is going to be around for at least another 36 episodes over the next 2 years.
Congratulations. That really says a lot.
And more. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I've never heard of it happening in network television, and I've been a part of network television for a long time,
yeah.
So it's a very, very good feeling.
It is the best show on TV, and you can watch it with your family. You can watch it with your spouse. I swear to God, it makes me want to be a better person. I'm just happy to know that Jack and Becca, they seem so perfect together, and they are, but they can have fights too, so it makes you more human.
It does. It does. I mean, and that is life. You know, there is the bad with the good. There's the horrible with the great, you know, and cover your ears, Bill.
All right, hold on.
Hurry up. There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, they had that big blowout at the end of the season
was,
again, I think it humanized this relationship, and particularly Jack, to see Jack, this man that everybody had told me is so perfect. I'm like, yeah, but he's made mistakes, and he's crossed lines, and, you know, there are things that he just can't do. So
and,
I think it's a good, well-rounded family.
I wish you could see Bill right now. He is sitting there with his hands over his ears, like pumping them. Why don't you just go la la la?
Can you take a photo and like tweet it or something?
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, let's do that. Oh, our producer Kevin already took one. He looks very foolish right now.
Amazing.
You know, the beauty of it is I always know when my wife and one of my daughters have watched an episode because they have the same tears in their eyes that I get when I watch CNN. It's the same kind of desperate sadness.
Yep. I hear you, man. I hear you.
Continued success to you.
Thank you very much.
Such a fan. Milo Ventimiglia, actor, producer, director. You've done a bunch of commercials with your production company, too. You are a well-rounded individual. What are you working on with that?
We actually have a series called Relationship Status, which is on the Verizon Go 90 platform. It is kind of like a Love Actually for today. It's 11 different storylines, 30 different characters, all relating to one another. It's kind of like dating in the digital age. So we got picked up for a second and a third season of that. So we go back into production, I think, in a couple weeks now. And yeah, and then just developing TV shows for the networks. So just busy doing
That's
stuff
excellent.
On my downtime.
You are rocking it.
Thank you. I'm just trying to keep going. It's like a shark that keeps swimming. You know, stop swimming, he just dies.
Well, all right. You can go see Milo Ventimiglia. He'll be in town. Walker Stalker Con this weekend. You can go to walkerstalkercon.com to find out all the information. Thank you. If you're ever in Chicago visiting relatives or coming back to your dad's old stomping ground, come in and see us, will you?
Absolutely, we'd love to.
Thanks, Milo. Have a great weekend.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
He's got the best looking butt.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Sorry.
That's
I had to let that go.
No.
I just had to.
That's fine. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. I just want you to verify. Milo Ventimiglia was just our guest, and I have not seen any episodes yet of This Is Us, but I intend on watching them this summer. So I did. I covered my ears so I didn't hear any of the plot details.
You heard some, though. But
no,
that...
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
But I just wanted to say I've developed a technique because if I just cover my ears, I can still hear some things. So I've developed what I call the pump technique because I keep moving my hands like over them and then not, and then over them and then not. So even if you do hear something, you hear like that. So it doesn't make sense.
I wish you wouldn't have revealed that on the air because later tonight when I'm talking to Jimmy Mack, I am going to see him doing that while I'm talking.
The ear pump technique.
I like that you actually named it. You went through it.
Yeah, I patented the name, Kevin.
Get Reebok on the phone. They can have, bring the pump gym shoe back, but right. Have like ears that you pump.
Yeah, I'm going to make a lot of money off of this, Wendy.
Seriously, you think of Dennis Franz, or Franz, I guess he says.
Yeah.
I don't know. Andy Sipowicz, I think of a butt that we shouldn't have seen on TV, and I think of short sleeve button down shirts with a tie.
Yeah.
That's all I think about, and I watch that show religiously.
I'm just glad we didn't have HD TV back then when he pulled his pants down on the TV, because that wouldn't have been pleasant.
Our next guest, Dennis Franz, we'll ask him about that. We got to start doing that to each other.
Right.
When one of us says
All
something
right.
bad about somebody, and
Bring
then
on.
Lo and behold, look who's on the
is.
Line.
All right, do it.
Star-studded. We've got Kurt Wagner. We're going to talk to him about TV. He got to interview Milo Ventimiglia about his butt, too.
Yeah.
Who hasn't?
Yeah.
It was really fine.
You're saying, yeah.
It was fine. And then later on...
You get this nostalgic look in your eye like, oh.
I remember when I saw it. I remember where I was, what I was wearing.
Sure.
Has it changed?
I don't know.
Okay.
And then after we talk to Kurt, we have another guest in studio who I think is also at Walker Stalker Con.
Yeah, Ross Marquand plays Aaron on Walking Dead. And not only is he great on Walking Dead, he does some of the best impressions you will ever hear. I am blown away at what a great impressionist he is. So we'll get him to do that for us, I promise.
All coming up here on 720 WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. And our friend Kurt Wagner is here. He is the owner and proprietor of TVShowPatrol.com, your one-stop shopping headquarters for all things television. Kurt, Wendy and I discussed this at great lengths at the beginning of the show the other day. Chuck Barris, the host of The Gong Show, had passed away. And although he'll always be known for that primarily, he was also one of the driving forces in some of your classic television game shows, everything from the Newlywed Game to the Dating Game to the $1.98 Beauty Contest. He was the brains behind all that. You never got a chance to meet him or talk to him or interview him, did you?
No, but I used to watch The Gong Show religiously.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah. It was great.
Really good.
It was so weird. And like now I go back and watch clips from that.
Yeah.
When they announced that they were going to have a reboot of The Gong Show, I went back and watched clips from the old show. I was like, wow, yeah. I really loved this back then.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre, though.
They made a movie out of it for a little while. The Gong Show movie came out, and it didn't do real well at the box office, but it was some of their stranger acts or things that got cut out of the regular show. But there weren't a whole lot of guys like him. He was one of those old-era TV guys, you know, those wheeler-dealer producer types who never was supposed to be a TV star, but because he was so awkward on camera, he became a TV star.
Yeah, I was wondering... I've never heard, but I wonder if there's a good story behind how he ended up being the host of that show.
I would love to hear it because I don't know how he did, but we were talking about all the tics that he had, all the clapping and the words that he would use over and over, and he didn't know where to look.
Right, right. And but you know, it seemed like he got more of those as that show went on.
Yeah.
I think some of those were intentional.
Do you? Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he just got weirder and weirder as the show did. But he got more comfortable.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. So we know that there's a new version of The Gong Show coming back. It's Will Arnett who's producing it, but we still don't have a host and we don't have an air date yet.
Why
right?
isn't Will Arnett just doing it? He'd be great at it.
He would be good. He would be.
I don't know.
He doesn't need to.
Yeah, but I haven't heard anything else besides that they're doing it.
All right.
Yeah, no start date or anything. It was rumored a while ago and then there was like nothing more about that.
Yeah, right, right. So whatever it's on, I want to see it. I can't wait to see it. Now, I have to ask you this. Earlier today, you know, on the Today Show, Kathy Lee Gifford is usually on with Hoda, right?
Mm-hmm. They really drink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
They drink a lot. They don't just have a sip. They just keep
Why
drinking.
Didn't I speaking think of that?
Speaking of very loose hosts.
Right. There's your loosest of hosts. All right. So here's what I noticed. Hoda's gone because she just adopted a child, so she's taking some time off to take care of the baby. And they've had a myriad of guest hosts, and today... It was Kathy Lee's old partner, Regis Philbin, sitting in.
Oh, fun.
Now,
how'd that go?
The magic of that was I didn't get to see it. It was on behind us, but I couldn't really focus because of the show. But those guys didn't really seem to get along at all during the taping of their shows. However, they have reunited a couple times. But then off camera, I'm hearing that he and what's her name? The last host.
Kelly Ripa.
That she won't even return his phone calls, that he wants to come and sit in every once in a while, and she wants nothing to do with him at all. How could that be?
He's Regis.
Well,
he's
remember Regis. How upset Kelly Ripa got about Strahan leaving and
Michael?
Her not being told?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a...
But that had nothing to do with Regis.
No, I know, but I mean, I'm wondering if there's something to do with her.
You know, he's
locked... Oh, maybe she's the one who's not that easy to get along with.
She's difficult. Because he's logged Maybe. More hours on television than anybody else in history.
Oh, yeah. And he's done tons of different things, right? I mean, that wasn't even his first...
Oh, no. He was an announcer years and years ago on various shows. Yeah.
Where's Gelman?
He's still producing the show.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's still there.
They still mention him, yeah. But that's interesting. I wonder if it's... I don't know. I wonder if... Who knows?
A year ago, when Michael Strahan left, they said, we'll get a co-host. We'll plug in a co-host. It'll be business as usual. Now we're like a year later and there's still no co-host.
They're still doing the weekly.
Yeah.
Oh, they are still doing it?
You still don't know who's going to take the job.
I don't have time to watch TV in the morning. First of all, I'm on the air.
Right.
Second of all, I'm busy in the morning. You know, I don't know how people have time to watch that. Yeah. I guess DVR's Wendy. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and sometimes they repeat them later in the day, but I don't really watch any of that stuff either.
I loved when it was Regis and Kathy Lee because you could tell there was friction. They were always very uncomfortable together, and I think that made for a better, more interesting show.
Right, well, you never knew what reaction
they Did they
get.
Really not get along?
I don't think they did.
Or was some of that an act, too?
I don't think they did.
That would suck, though. I mean, you're with someone. I'm with you more than I am my own family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
do I give you high blood pressure?
Yeah. I get very high blood pressure. Yeah.
I mean, do you two have things that irritate?
Yeah. I mean,
oh, God. Each other? You want to see the list?
But But, you know, part of it, too, is, you know, we don't hang out together.
Right.
And we save a lot of it. Like, I come in at the start of the show because I don't like to talk to you before we get on the air because we waste stuff.
Right.
Or so, after you get off the air.
Right.
You
know, or during the show. Yeah. No talking.
That's why you always have guests. Right. So right. You two don't have to talk to
each other. We talk to each other through you. Tell
Kurt,
Wendy
you
I
tell
like
Bill.
Her shirt.
Yeah. Kevin's doing a lot of that. Probably
a lot of
nobody's
that.
Nobody's here.
A lot of it.
That would honestly really suck, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And how many years were they together?
They were together for a long time,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Forever.
But I guess watching that show, I never necessarily noticed that they were completely cold with each other.
Like, in their eyes. Like, he liked to tell stories about how he and his wife would go to some Broadway play the night before. And you could just see it in her eyes, like, oh, God, again with the Broadway plays. And then she'd talk about her kids, and you could see it in his eyes. It's like, oh, good, more stories about the kids. Oh, great.
Who knows? Maybe that was just for fun.
Maybe. Maybe. But that's why I loved watching it. It's
right.
Like, I don't think these guys get along at all. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more with Kurt Wagner. Do you have any questions for Kurt? Any questions or comments about your favorite television shows? He's here to answer them for you, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we're talking with Kurt Wagner, TVShowPatrol.com. You like to take phone calls from the listeners, so let's hop to it, shall we?
Shall we? Let's do it.
All right, Crystal has called. Hi, Crystal. This is Kurt Wagner. You can go to his website, TVShowPatrol.com, and you have a question?
Yes, I do. When training day started on TV, the new series, and then I realized that the lead character, who I really liked and actually makes the show, Bill Paxton passed away. He was the one who died after the heart surgery, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was wondering, what are they going to do with that show then?
They're moving it to Saturdays to finish out the season, and then I don't think they're recasting or anything. I think it's just done.
Oh.
Yeah, I was afraid of that because he, you know, I didn't see how they could replace him, really.
Right.
So that's a shame.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. And I don't know if you saw on the episode, the week he had passed away, they did a very nice tribute at the very beginning of the episode to him. That's tough when you got a show rolling and the guy who's your number one star.
I think they had filmed the first season.
Oh, have they?
I think they had completely filmed it.
Yeah.
But it was a shorter run, I think. But he was a great guy. I mean, he'd been in a lot of things.
Such a good actor.
Yeah.
That's rough. Bernadine is on the line. She also has a question for you, Kurt. Go ahead, Bernadine. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. And, you know, it's an old show, Castle, and it was such a good show. But, you know, you don't see any of the actors or actresses on anything anymore. I just wondered if you know, Kurt, whether they're on anything.
I've seen them guest starring on different shows, but I have not.
Is Castle Nathan Fillion?
Yeah.
Because he's on Modern Family now in a reoccurring role. He plays news guy that the oldest daughter is dating.
And
not
then
every
he,
week.
But then he guest starred in that thing on Netflix, Santa Clarita Diet, the Drew Barrymore zombie comedy.
I kind of like that.
But I don't know. But anyway, thanks a lot.
Yep.
And I, you know what? I just enjoy you guys so much.
Oh, Bernadine, you're so nice. Have a great weekend. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the phone call.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
You got called honey.
Yeah, she slipped in the honey. Did you get that?
Yep. 815 says, can you please ask Kurt about Trial and Error? So wrong, yet so funny. Hope it is doing well. Thanks. Love you guys.
Yeah, it just started, I think, maybe second or third
Stacey
episode.
Stacey Keach?
No. Trial and Error has...
John Lithgow.
And he plays this guy who is suspected of killing his wife.
Yeah.
But... And he if he didn't do it, he claims he didn't do it, but then he does all these things that make everybody think that he's a heartless killer, and then he did do it. And it's slowly being revealed, like, all the stuff from his back, like his former wife died in the same way.
Oh.
And you know, it's just really so bizarre and
so
weird.
It's a parody of something, but I can't
it's
figure out...
It's a parody of the show, of the crime, the true crime...
Like the O.J. Simpson type?
Yeah.
It looks good. The previews look really
it's
good.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But, you know, they talk to the camera. It's like a camera crew there and everything. So it's like those. And what was that thing on Netflix about the guy in Wisconsin? It's like those shows.
Making of a Murder?
Yeah, Making of a Murder.
Making a Murder.
So it's parodying those shows. But John Lithgow is hilarious.
Yeah, he can be very funny, can't he? He's a great dramatic actor.
And his
actor.
Character is so clueless. Or is he?
Yeah.
You know, or is he a calculating
So you're
killer?
Liking that show. That's a good show.
It's funny.
All right. Let's talk to Matt. Matt also has a question for you, Kurt. Go ahead, Matt. What was your question?
Commander Peck. Okay.
Now, I'm sorry, Pat. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you know, there was a series, I think, on AMC for the last couple of seasons about the American Revolutionary War and the first spies for Washington, General Washington. It was called Turn. And then all of a sudden it disappeared. Do you have any knowledge about that?
I think it's coming back for a final season, but I'm not sure when that's happening.
Yeah, but it ended, you know, and then all the bad guys, we don't know what happened to the bad guys and the good guys. I mean, it's just the last episode for the season, I'm like, wait a second, what happened here? So, you know, didn't know.
Yeah, it's coming back for a fourth and final season, but they have not set a date yet.
So just keep your ears open, okay. Matt. You'll find out soon. All right?
Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Keep your ears open.
Yeah, keep your ears open because it's radio. If it was TV, I'd say keep your eyes open. The show The Leftovers on HBO, I've been seeing ads for the season premiere of that. Now, I liked the first season a lot, but somehow just kind of lost track of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they just announced in the previews for it, final season, that's the end of Leftovers.
Yeah, and I think that maybe starts in April.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. That's and it's good. the third and final season, I think.
Yeah,
I have a question on Fox. The Mick, Caitlin Olson, one of the funniest yet raunchiest shows ever. Has that been renewed?
Yeah, that was renewed in February.
Love that show
almost immediately.
A second season,
as soon as it came out.
Yeah,
we also find out that.
Have I ever told you can see her in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Oh yeah, I've watched that for years.
Okay,
but I like this better. The Mick is better in my opinion.
She's very funny. Life in Pieces has been renewed. We just got word of that, right? On CBS, the comedy.
Has it?
Yeah, you seem shocked, but you gave me the note that says it's been renewed. So I'm hoping.
No, I thought that was one that hadn't been renewed
yet. It says here, Life in Pieces and Mom will both be back.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Sorry. Is someone else writing your notes for you?
Yeah. CBS announced a slew of shows that are coming, that got early renewals, which isn't surprising for CBS. I think it's more surprising when a CBS show doesn't come back.
The pacing on Life in Pieces is phenomenal. It's every week. It's four segments. They focus on different characters.
Parts of the family. Yeah.
And I haven't seen a bad episode yet. I've been watching it for 2 years. Okay. Really enjoy it.
Everybody only on two more funny. Walking Deads.
For the season, yeah.
Oh, no. And I heard there were some big deaths this last week.
Not this past week, but before all is said and done, they're showing what's coming. Okay.
Yeah, but you know what I hate about that? We know of someone who could be knocking at death's door who is signed to star in another series.
Right.
And that ruins it for people.
Yeah, that's kind of an unfair advantage when you know that one of the stars has a new show coming up. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Kurt, thank you so much. For everybody who called or texted and whose answers were not answered here on the show, you've been kind enough in the past to answer them off air. Will that still
continue? They can get me on Facebook or just email me from my website, tvshowpatrol.com.
tvshowpatrol.com. Thank you, Kurt. Have a great
And everybody stay tuned because there's going to be a fun guest next.
Oh yeah. We're star-studded today, including
Ross
yourself.
Ross from Walking Dead.
He's great.
In studio. Yeah. I can't wait to meet him.
I'm going
to
bite him.
Wendy will bite them. Just if you have an office pool, it's a 30-minute interview. So start deciding when in the 30 minutes Wendy bites our guest. That's coming up next. It's Phil and Wendy, WGN. Ross Marquand is here. You know him best probably as Aaron from The Walking Dead, but he's appeared in a bunch of other things, and he's also an amazing impressionist. And I rarely warn a guest, Ross, at the beginning of an interview, but Wendy has said twice that at some point during this half hour, she's going to bite you. So just be ready
for
that.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. All right.
We were promoting it yesterday, and I said, I'm going to bite you.
Yeah.
Because they're biters, they're walkers, they're floaters. They're not zombies.
Well, giddy up. Right. Thanks for the thanks.
There's
for
no
that.
Resistance at all from your side of the table.
None.
No,
not
bite
anymore.
Away. All right, have a bite.
Oh, man.
Why not zombies? The word zombies has never once been spoken on Walking Dead. Because why?
Well, because I think they wanted to rebrand the zombie genre, and I think it's smart that they've done that because it's as if that world didn't exist prior to The Walking Dead. That's what Kirkman always says. He's like, he didn't want the zombie kind of lexicon to ever have entered into readers' minds when they were reading that book. So we don't know why the outbreak started. We don't know how people got infected, and it's not really important at a certain point. You know, in season one, we're like, well, how did this come to be? But that's not the real thrust of the show. It's actually about characters and and as we were saying earlier, like love and loss and all that good stuff. So
I was telling Ross off the air, I wasn't into The Walking Dead at all. I'm like, you know, I've had enough zombies. My 13-year-old son at the time said, 12 probably, said, you got to watch this. No, no, Dylan, I don't want zombies. It's more than zombies. It is about the survivors. That's what the story entails. Yeah. Your parents, you mentioned something about...
My parents said they were never going to watch the show. They're like, that's not really for us.
See?
It's a zombies, you know, that's not a horror. We don't really care for that. I'm like, your son's on the damn show. Can you please watch the show? And to their credit, they did. They gave it a shot. And they've seen almost every single episode twice now. So,
were you a fan prior to getting cast in it?
Yeah.
You were.
A huge fan. That first Halloween episode in 2010, I remember watching that with my friends. We didn't have enough money to go out and go to a proper Hollywood party. So we stayed in. Everyone brought a six-pack of beer, and we just watched this. And we had no idea what to expect because we hadn't obviously seen anything. And we looked at each other after it was over and I said, do you want to watch it again? Because it was, you know, on TiVo. And we just, TiVo, I'm dating myself.
I know.
I was like, you know TiVo.
Rewind the VCR.
Yeah, exactly.
We watched it Kinescopes, twice. That first episode?
Yes,
I think they
exactly.
had it on Kinescope.
And there was a smell. Smell-o-vision. It was great.
It is, you know, when you watch an episode for the second time, you pick up things you missed before. And plus, if you watch with your family, we have to go through the no talking.
Right.
No talking while it's on.
Yeah. Right.
You have to focus on it.
You do. You really do.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
When you first got the role of Aaron, you didn't know this was going to be a running character. It could have just been one episode for all you knew.
Could have been a one and done. I'd auditioned for the show twice already.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure I auditioned for the role of Gareth, the cannibal
season
4. And, because, you know, the sides are close enough to the actual script where you're like, oh, I think that might have been that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was so bummed out when I saw that character because I thought Andrew West did such an amazing job. And then when I saw that he got killed off after 4 episodes, I said, oh, maybe I dodged a bullet here. You know, it's a good thing I didn't get cast in that. But no, you have no idea. You have zero clue as to what's going to happen. And the sides, the scripts are totally different from what you actually see in the show.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that I got cast in this part because he's such a great guy.
Is it true that when a cast member is killed off, they do like a big farewell dinner for them? Is that still part of the plan there?
Yeah, we do. It's always bittersweet because, you know, you're not just losing a peer, you're losing a friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always tough. You know, we lost some really, really
substantial characters.
Substantial
what
characters.
Is that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to reveal too much about it, but saying goodbye to Michael and Steven early this season
tough.
Was just, it was, people were crying.
Sure.
And I was crying. We were all, you know, pretty heartbroken about it. You know?
On the cliffhanger of that episode when we first meet Negan and his pal Lucille, just the sound of what happened was a stomach turning, and then to open up the season with actually seeing it turned a lot of people off. I quite honestly didn't need to see it. I didn't give up on the show, but it's like, I don't know, the sound was worse for me. So we could use our own imaginations, but was that the most violent showing on television ever?
I don't know about that, but
it was pretty bad.
It was pretty up there. But you know, I think the reason why we were committed to doing that was because we really needed people to get on board with the fact that Negan was a bad, bad man.
He's a bad. Shut your mouth.
Yeah,
just talk about Negan.
he's insane. He's absolutely insane. And I think we had to have that visceral, you know, reaction up front to show that A, he meant business, and B, he's a total psychopath.
Yeah.
Like he uses extreme violence to get what he wants. And I think everything else after that has been kind of a little bit more calm.
Oh, you know? A lot more.
It's been more about character development for both Negan and the Saviors and understanding why they are the way they are.
Yeah.
Why they have adopted this sort of kind of barbaric, but also there's rules in the barbarism, you know. It's kind of like Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men. It's like he has a set code, he has a moral,
he does have a moral compass.
Yeah, but it's his moral compass,
right.
You know. And I love it. I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan's doing a great job.
Oh my God. And the way he just kind of like shifts around holding the bat is so annoying yet wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Major League Baseball is allowing barbed wire on their bats this season. They never did that in the past, so I think that's a tribute to you guys.
You would think that would be difficult to hit, you know, it would like actually stick on the ball, you know?
It definitely would be.
You know,
as many homers.
Obviously, B.B. King had his guitar, many guitars named Lucille. Mm-hmm. Any pushback from the B.B. King estate? Yes.
I have a feeling. I haven't talked to Robert about this personally, but I have to imagine that that was a tip of the hat, yeah. Or tip of the bat, as it were. Hey-o! Here were the dad puns all day.
I'll pull your jeans down. They're up too high.
Oh, the dad jeans. I was wondering where you're going with that.
Yeah, sorry.
She hasn't bitten you yet.
Shut up.
Be very careful. Be very careful.
Yeah, I think Kirkman was probably referencing B.B. King with that one. Yeah.
Do you guys ever suggest to either Robert Kirkman or anyone on board, hey, maybe my character could do a little more of this or a little more of that? Are they receptive to that sort of input?
You know, you don't want to push too much because then you get killed.
Right.
Right.
I think, but we do all of us have conversations with Scott Gimple, our showrunner, at the beginning of the season, and we just, you know, kind of gauge where the character's going and try to, you know, have as much input as possible. But truly, there's so many people on this show now. There's so many characters. I mean, there's about 20 series regulars now on the show. And, you know, I think we're just all happy to serve the story the best way we can.
Sure.
And it's become bigger than any one person. I don't even think... You know, I mean, Andy would be the first to say this. It is certainly Rick's journey still, but now it's become so much bigger.
Yeah.
And there's so many fascinating new characters, so many fascinating new communities that they're working with. So it's gotten to be this massive, massive show.
And Eugene is definitely growing up.
Yeah.
Just a little. Yeah. Just a bit.
That mullet, yeah.
Well, the mullet, I'm a fan of the mullet.
Uh-huh.
But he has come into his own and has really turned into a man. You know, it was interesting to watch. Maybe not a nice man, but...
But he's just, I mean...
More confident.
True, but I think he's a survivor however he needs to survive. So if it means aligning himself with Negan, he's going to do it.
And I am Negan.
I'm Negan. It's like right away, like, dang, you didn't even skip a beat, you know?
We're talking with Ross Marquand, who plays Aaron on The Walking Dead. He's in town at the Walker Stalker Con this weekend. There's an iconic scene from Saturday Night Live where William Shatner is at a convention and the fans know everything that you can possibly know about Star Trek. You're probably living that right now with Walking Dead, aren't you?
Yeah, it's amazing. I actually met Shatner last year in Cincinnati.
Did you?
At a convention, and he was lovely, but, you know, you get to that point where, I mean, it's all the conventions kind of... They look the same at a certain point because it's all, like, you know, very fluorescent lighting and cold concrete, you know.
Yeah.
But I think what makes it exciting is that you're getting to meet these people. I mean, I would have given anything to have met the cast of Star Trek Next Generation as a kid. And now that there's this ability to do so, where you're actually able to go and meet people from your favorite show, like, that's an amazing thing. And I don't think we could have really done that 40 years ago.
Right.
You know, and it's cool. It's cool. And you see fans and they get teary eyed and you're like, you're getting excited to meet me. Like I just, my brain still can't fathom that. Cause a few years ago I couldn't even freaking pay rent, you know, truly, you know,
it's one of those shows though, that creates a community, even with, Chris Hardwick and Talking Dead afterwards. What other show did you get to see, you know, the creators and the writers there just looking like real people sitting around a couch talking?
There was no talking that girl when that show was over.
Yeah.
Oh, Donald.
Right. Talking Mary Tyler Moore.
I would have watched that show. Why didn't they ever do that?
I know. And I think it's because people are so excited about the show. They want to actually hear the nuts and bolts of what went on to every episode. And I think it's a testament to the fans who are just so excited to hear the fan theories, to talk about, you know, what's going to happen next. And that's why that show has become, I think it's the second highest watched show after The Walking Dead on AMC.
Wow.
It's a great show.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a nice little 1-2 punch.
It is, yeah.
Ross Marquand is here. He plays Aaron on Walking Dead. Like we said, he's going to be at Walker Stalker Con all this weekend. WalkerStalkerCon.com. It's hard to say con and com in the same word, but there it is, is your website of choice. When we come back, can we get you to do some of the impressions that I love so much? Oh, man, you're good. Stick around. More coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Bill.
Ross Marquand is here. He plays Aaron on The Walking Dead. And without your permission, I just showed you a picture. There's a statue of you. A toy company in England, Eagle Moss, does characters from the show. You were, I think, January or February's character of the month.
Ooh.
So
Start of the
that?
Year.
I had no idea. You got your own statue.
Well, they just released the Aaron action figure. And
McFarlane toys.
My mom was like, "You had a doll." I'm like, "I have an action figure."
Yeah, it's not a doll.
It's not a doll. And I was so. I mean, that's the weirdest thing because
you
I
have arrived play, then when you get an action figure.
It's, it, yeah, it's weird. I mean, I used to play G.I. Joes as a kid all the time with my brothers. So I'm like, "This is the coolest thing all
yeah.
the time." You know.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so, thank you. Yeah.
All right.
Weird
a,
moment.
A couple months ago, you're on Conan O'Brien's show, and they're talking to you, of course, about Walking Dead. But then you start doing some impressions, and every one of them is better than the next.
Oh, thank you.
And then Huffington Post just ran something either yesterday or the day before with you doing actors in roles that they're not famous for.
Right.
Wow, are you good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank How you. Did this start? How did you start doing the impressions?
Truly, it was a desire to not get beat up by my brothers. I have two older brothers, and they used to legitimately like beat the crap out of me every day of my life. And I found that early on, if I made them laugh,
yeah.
they wouldn't the beatdowns wouldn't be as severe or as frequent.
You so could diffuse like, it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where it came from. And I just, you know, my parents used to watch the Johnny Carson show
yeah.
all the time. And I realized if I just learn how to emulate Johnny, that's actually more Casey Kasem. This is Casey Carson. That's not a – ooh, that's a good mashup.
You could merge yeah. those guys.
Casey Carson coming this fall to Fox on the WGN network. Casey Carson. Ooh, I want to –
That works. Well, their voices that. Are in the same lane kind
yeah,
of, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
I never realized it till just now.
Oh, yeah. Very similar.
Yeah.
All right. Do a couple. The ones that blow me away. I never saw anyone do Zach Galifianakis before, but you've nailed that one.
Thank you very much. That's I don't think Zach actually he doesn't stutter as much as I'm doing him now. But I feel like that's the best way that I feel like he's you know that I can emulate him. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very nice of you. In fact, you should. I'm now that you said that because I'm going to put you in the Hangover Part 4, and you're going to be. You're going to be my best drinking buddy.
Wow. Wow. Can we get a little John C. Reilly, Chicago actor John C. Reilly?
John C. Reilly. Jeez, I can't believe I'm back in Chicago. I can't wait to have some sausages while I'm here. You know, I just really love the bacon-wrapped sausages. Just go out. There, I noticed that you guys outlawed the, what was it, the duck with pate.
Yeah,
what, you
yeah.
don't have any more.
No
what,
more.
This outlawed. What is it called again? Where you stuff a duck?
With a turducken.
Turducken, not the turducken where it's like you where the
foie gras.
Foie gras.
Yeah.
That's a fun phrase to say when you're John C. Reilly. Foie gras. So, you know.
Wow. If you wouldn't mind, and this guy, not only a great actor, but a great impression of himself, Kevin Spacey. You also do some Kevin Spacey.
Oh, sure, Bill. I'd love to. You know, more often than not, people nowadays have been asking for Frank Underwood as Kevin Spacey, and I'm happy to oblige. But you see, I really love this the old school Kevin Spacey, more soft-spoken like this. Yeah.
Oh, man. You're so good at
you
that.
Are fantastic.
Thank you.
Do you do any impressions of your coworkers, like Rick Grimes? Or Daryl?
I did a long time ago.
Yeah.
Before I got on the show, I did Norman Reedus and Andy Lincoln. But because you just learn, like when you work with people, you don't do impressions of people you work with. Because I did that once with Larry David, and it backfired. It backfired so hard, and I just never again. Never gonna do that again.
What did you say to Larry David that upset him?
I was he wasn't super upset, but I was doing voice matching work for a film that he had done for HBO.
Yeah.
And he was laughing. He was really enjoying the work I was doing. But then the engineer was like, "Who else do you do?" And he's like, "You know, do Larry." And I was like, "Well, you know, it's pretty, you know." And he leaned back in his seat and he kind of clasped his hands together. And he said, "It's not your best."
Oh,
I said,
no.
"Okay, all right." And he was right. It wasn't my best. So I said, "Never again."
It would
Burn.
Be weird doing it to the person because
yeah.
they don't hear themselves like that.
No, and they might get offended.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. So I don't do it. Don't
Did you do,
it
do when you were in school? I learned to do impressions of all my teachers because you could only succeed by impersonating your teachers. Did you ever try doing any of that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's
I used
fun.
To make fun of my teachers all the time behind their backs.
Yes,
of course.
Not to their face.
And it made me very happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Got me a lot of friends. Yeah.
You grew up in Colorado, Fort yeah. Collins, Colorado?
I was born in Fort Collins. I was raised in Littleton, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you go back home, if you go back home, what's the reaction for people who grew up with you and knew you? Because now you're on one of TV's biggest hits. What do they say?
Nothing really. Nothing no. really. I mean, you know, because they still, you know, take the well, I can't say that out of the air. They still give me a good ribbing. They still give me a hard time.
Yeah.
Because you should. I mean, like, it's like, you know, my family's still there, and it's really, you know, it's the town has changed a lot. Yeah. More than anything. I mean, it's grown so much. The marijuana industry has caused Colorado to grow vastly. So yeah. I hardly recognize it when I come back.
Really?
And pizza sales are up because of that.
That's right.
And Little Debbie's.
Yes, and Little Debbie's. Yeah, but it's impossible to buy a house out there because it's illegal for them to bank.
Yeah.
But they can buy homes with cash.
Oh.
So they're just, it's money laundering essentially. Yeah. So they're taking all that vast sums of money and just buying houses.
Ah.
So my friends who have kids and they're trying to start families, they can't buy a house because they're getting bought up like crazy.
Wow.
So yeah.
Bring them here to Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I love Chicago. This is my favorite city.
Do you really?
It's my favorite city. Yeah.
Spend more time here.
I want to.
You should. It's. I mean, now that the weather's nice, there's no excuse not to.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
You get like a 3 month window where it's just perfect out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three months. That's it.
Yeah. Basically.
All right. So what haven't you done yet, Ross, that you want to do? You're on one of the biggest hits on TV. If you could just pick something to do that you haven't done yet, what would it be?
Well, but it's funny you mention, because when I was a kid, my grandmother took me on the Chicago architecture tour.
Yeah.
You know, all up and down.
You wanted to be an architect.
I did.
Yeah.
Before acting, I was like, maybe this architecture thing could work out, because the architecture here, I think, is the best in the world. Honestly, I don't think there's any city in the world that comes close.
Yeah.
in terms of like the vastness and how many different types of buildings there are here.
Yeah,
so many different styles being represented, and I this was what got me going, Chicago.
Yeah,
and unfortunately this whole acting bug got me.
It'll pass.
Yeah,
fine.
So one day I would actually like to be an architect. Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be fun.
That'd be excellent.
Yeah.
An honor to meet you. Wendy and I always hope when there's somebody we so admire on television that when they come in, they're as nice as we dream them to be.
Oh,
and
you've
so far surpassed that.
Thank you very much.
Ross Marquand, one of the stars of Walking Dead. You can see him at the Walker Stalker Con. Go to walkerstalkercon.com/Chicago. All your information's there. And you have your own website, which is your name.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Real
and
original.
Twitter and everywhere.
You're everywhere.
Yeah.
So right. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Big
thanks
fan.
For having
thanks,
I won't bite you.
Okay.
You got through the half hour. No biting.
Hey, nailed it.
Bill, you can do it.
All right. Quick break and then more show. Yeah. Bill and Wendy, WGN.